This is The Guardian. Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal land with the full story.
Testing by the CSIRO has confirmed that the second bird collected here in WA was carrying the deadly H5 strain.
Farmers in the state are on a voluntary lockdown to protect their poultry farms.
Experts are warning it could wipe out some native species.
Having wiped out millions of birds worldwide and devastated wildlife populations around the globe, Australia has watched as the H5N1 strain of bird flu crept ever closer. And now it's here. The last continent to be hit, birds have been discovered on beaches in Western Australia and tested positive for the virus. Now, governments and wildlife experts alike are anxiously waiting to see if this is just the beginning. Today, environment and climate correspondent Graham Redfern on how worried we should be about the spread of bird flu. It's Wednesday, the 23rd of June.
This podcast is supported by Brisbane Economic Development Agency. When Ulta Steel CEO Paul Zuckerman chose Brisbane for Australia's first low-carbon steel mill, Brisbane Economic Development Agency, BEDA, was there from day one.
BEDA was an early relationship for us, and they've just been so supportive. I think they're great at connecting businesses and really just open doors for us.
Brisbane Economic Development Agency connect business, research and government with opportunity. Search Choose Brisbane for more information.
In a world of need, we need medical care. Without delay.
Delay.
Without bias. Without bureaucracy. Without prejudice. Without violence.
Civilians are not expendable.
Without apathy. Without division.
Division.
That's why we need Doctors Without Borders. Save lives at msf.org.au.
Hi, Graham. It's good to see you. Welcome back to Full Story.
Thanks a lot, Regid. How are you?
Look, I'm well, and we're going to be talking about a major story here. We've been watching bird flu creep towards Australia for some time, and Australia has managed to keep it at bay.
Mm.
But how did it finally get onto our shores?
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and give you the short, long version of this story, but I mean, this particular strain that people are really worried about, it was detected in a goose farm in China in 1996, but things started to go wrong around 2021 in Europe. It's got to every continent on the planet, and Australia was the last holdout. Now, we've always thought of this as a not if but when sort of story for bird flu's arrival. But our story here starts sort of in Esperance a couple of weekends ago when a brown skua, that's a bird, and a giant petrel, they were found a few kilometres apart in the Esperance area of WA at the Cape Legrand National Park. And the ABC's report, it was actually a vet that was walking on the beach and found this sort of sick-looking brown skua. She took it to a wildlife carer. They reported it to the state government. And that bird tested positive for this H5N1 strain of bird flu. The other bird, the petrel, that was also tested positive. Both birds have since died. And the thing about this is, we've been thinking about bird flu arriving in Australia for years and years, and there's been testing for several years. So we can't know for sure if it's actually arrived anywhere else. Maybe we've had some lucky escapes in recent years. We won't really know. But this regular monitoring and this testing for a few years so far, at least, they haven't found any mass deaths, and there's nothing been detected as positive until now.
I guess what people are wondering is, how contagious is this strain of bird flu? How worried should we be?
Yes. So if we're talking about wildlife populations, we should be really worried because it has been shown to be incredibly infectious among wild birds and a lot of mammal species. So this particular virus doesn't seem to hang on in humans very well or infect humans well at all, but it does do really well in bird species and animal species. And people might think, haven't we had bird flu in Australia before? We've had different strains.
Well, there was a 2024 outbreak.
There was. That was something called H7. So a different strain. That did mean hundreds of thousands of birds had to be killed in the poultry industry. But that wasn't this strain. This strain, let's give it its full name. It's not really fun, but anyway, highly pathogenic avian influenza H5N1 clade 2.3.4.4b. But really, we just need to look at examples from overseas to see just how bad this could be for Australia. We've reported that this strain of bird flu has sort of killed or caused the culling of about 280 million commercial birds, wild bird populations. It's likely in the millions, but nobody could really ever count. Probably more than 24,000 sea lions died in like Peru and Chile and Uruguay and Brazil in 2023. Researchers have estimated like 53,000 elephant seals in South Georgia have died. We reported only a few weeks ago on research from Australian scientists that 13,000 seal pups had died at Heard Island. And there'd been positive tests for elephant seals, king penguins, gentoo penguins, Antarctic fur seals, diving petrels. You know, so globally, this has been an awful story. And I wonder if there's any reason to think it's going to be any different for us in Australia.
So experts must be quite worried then. I mean, what is the likelihood of this outbreak getting out of control?
Right. So we have to go back here now to how this spreads. The experts say that the scavenging habit of a lot of birds is the way that this can be spread. So there was one expert that I spoke to who kind of laid out a bit of a scenario for me. So let's say a sick bird ends up on a beach and it dies on a beach. We've already seen that actually, haven't we? So we all see gulls on the beach. They're everywhere. Now, what happens if one of those birds that is sick dies on a beach? Gulls, they're scavengers too. So they find a dead bird, they go and have a go at that bird, the gull gets infected, gulls are in large flocks, and pretty quickly it gets out into the wild bird population. And we've all seen how we get these really large groups of birds, it can spread through those really, really super quickly. And in no time, it's uncontrolled, it's into the wild bird populations and into some of our mammal species as well. So yeah, there's a lot of concern, but this virus's record overseas is why.
Let's talk about how it could spread to other species. It's called bird flu.
Yeah.
But what are the environmental implications for us here in Australia? What kind of threatened species could it spread to? How big could that impact be?
Globally, it's affected, I think it's more than 400 wild bird species, more than 40 mammal species. So authorities in Australia have got about 100 different response plans for different species and for different habitats. So that's telling us already that authorities think that there's a significant number of species that are at risk. Campaigners have said they're worried about things like the Tassie devil, the orange-bellied parrot, the Australian sea lion. But when you think about those sort of 100 response plans, it seems a bit unfair to be talking about just a handful of species. The other thing to think about as well for Australia is we have these high levels of what's called endemism. That is animals that don't exist anywhere else.
Unique species, basically.
Yeah, they're unique species. A lot of our native animals are found nowhere else on the planet. So if we end up losing a species here because of bird flu, and already a lot of our species are in trouble, then there's a good chance that that's then lost from the planet entirely. So there was a national response plan, I think, that was launched in 2024. Scientists have been working up plans for a couple of years, even before that, in Australia. So we've been getting ready for this for a long time. I mean, me as a reporter, we've been speaking to people for years, and people will have mentioned to us that experts are really worried about the arrival of bird flu.
Does that mean Australia is particularly vulnerable to this, given our unique species?
It's hard to say whether we are vulnerable. I mean, one thing that's helped Australia actually is how isolated we are as an island. That's maybe a reason why it hasn't arrived yet. But we do have large flocks and big congregations of birds, and we do have species that are already kind of on the precipice, really, and are moving up those horrible charts for extinction risk. I do want to say one thing, though, and that is that so far we've got these two birds that are confirmed. So it's here in Australia, but there's no evidence yet that it's broken out into wild bird populations. Is there a chance that it might not? Well, I mean, looking around the world, it feels like if it's not now, then it might be soon. But just yet, there's no evidence that it's gone anywhere else. But that's definitely a story that a lot of people think is probably going to change quite soon.
So what are Australian experts and biosecurity government officials doing to try and stop it from getting out into the wild population?
Yeah, well, I mentioned that we've got this national task force set up in 2024, so we've had a bit of time to prepare. But the thing that authorities can't really do is, because the continent's so vast and we have migratory bird species that come in from the north, and actually quite a few experts thought that when it came to Australia, that's probably where it would come. And we have these migratory species that come up from the south. So it's really difficult to police, monitor, test birds all around the continent. I think the expectation is that that can't happen. And I think the expectation is that probably we're going to see this enter wild populations at some stage.
We'll be right back.
In a world of need, we need medical care. Without delay.
Delay.
Without bias. Without bureaucracy. Without prejudice. Without violence.
Civilians are not expendable.
Without apathy. Without division. That's why we need Doctors Without Borders. Save lives at msf.org.au.
Full Story is supported by EY Parthenon. EY Parthenon is the global strategy consulting practice of EY, working with CEOs, boards, investors, and governments on their most critical decisions. They bring deep sector expertise, an investor mindset, and advanced technology to bring clarity to complex challenges. EY Parthenon helps leaders make better decisions in moments of change, anticipating what's next, finding opportunity in uncertainty, and translating complex shifts into real-world outcomes, turning insight into action. For more insights, go to ey.com/au/Parthenon. EY Parthenon, transformative strategy and transactions. Solutions that work in practice, not just on paper.